Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about penises with the hilarious Natalie Norman, but I do have to say off the top is that this episode is explicit. We talk a lot about sex, personal sex stories, our own bodies, but we also talk about the evolution of penises and the decrease in male fertility that is happening around the world. Very educational, but very explicit. So if you have kids listening, I would skip this one, but if you are down for some sexual health, continue to listen.
Okay, wow. Hi.
Today's episode is insane. Mom, turn it off.
Yeah, no parents allowed. Also, maybe no kids allowed.
No kids allowed. No kids allowed.
I mean, it depends what kind of kid you have, what kind of relationship. There are some people that have relationships with their kids that are very open about talking about sex. Like, yes. My roommate in university, he and his parents would always joke about, like, dicks and vaginas and stuff like that. Like, maybe it wasn't so explicit about sex, but they would talk about sex.
How do you know that? He was like, me and my parents, we love to joke about dicks and
No, because marriage. I knew his family and I would meet them. And then, like, oh, wow. They would just, like, joke so openly about things that would make me so uncomfortable.
The Catholic popped out in you.
Yeah, but I think it would for you as well. Like, you don't talk about that with your parents.
Yeah, don't talk about, like, we talk about a lot of hard cocks in this one, so hopefully the kids are not less than that. I'd say it's 18 plus, 21 plus if you're in America, and if you're European, it's 16 plus for today. So, yeah, we're obsessed with a show called Couples Therapy.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, like, we need to talk about that. It is a Showtime.
Showtime show. There's two. The second season's just started.
Couples Therapy.
So good.
And didn't have high expectations. Just, I think our friends had mentioned it. Maybe you had read about it.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so addictive. Every single time the episode goes by, we're just like, that was 25 minutes.
I swear it's 10 minutes in my brain. And every time it's 26 minutes fully that it ends. And I see the 26 minute mark. And I'm like, like physics has like obliterated in this moment.
Yeah, we like, both always go, oh, when, like, it's over.
Yeah,
like, as though it's like we thought it was only like a few minutes in.
Anyways, highly recommend. The therapist is Woman Crush Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we still have to look them up on Instagram, all the people that are in it.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Oh, did you already?
No, but I'm just like worried that they're like, we didn't know it was going to be such a hit. Now these people know everything about me.
Well, it's so fascinating. It's such a good, I feel like there are other therapy, maybe not TV shows, but they just do such a good job at conveying what's going on. I imagine they have hours and hours of footage from all these therapy sessions, and they do such a good job of finding sound bites, and yet it feels like you're really learning about the people's problems. Yeah. And the therapist does such a good job of playing the audience, as in, like, she re-asks questions and helps make it clear what's being talked about in a way that I wonder wouldn't necessarily always happen in therapy. But it doesn't feel like it's for the show.
Yeah. But it's such a good tactic to be like, Clarify that.
True.
Say
yeah,
that one more time.
And so it's because.
And it makes like, you always, feel.
Yeah. But it like actually works so well. And I'm always like, all of the stories I somehow find relatable.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we've listened to, what's that?
Esther Perel.
Yeah, she's got a great podcast. Where Shall We Begin? Or Where Should We Begin? I forget what it's called. But I have found some of those episodes, you're like, wow, this is so wild. It's so unrelatable to me. But all of these couples, like, they have some intense problems, but they can all be distilled down to
sort of
interrelationship working problems that most people deal with. So
it's honestly incredible. Good job, Showtime. It's a tick for Showtime, I must say.
Where do you even watch? Like, we just stream it online, but how did
we watch it legally? Don't come get us, well, Justin Trudeau.
How do people watch Showtime?
I honestly don't.
You have to have cable?
So many channels, so many TV shows. There's always a new TV show. I'm like, well, I ain't watching that. And is anyone? Like, I don't understand. I feel like the market's going to crash for TV.
It's like the housing market.
Yeah, honestly, but the thing that should pop through for everyone is Couples Therapy. Take a gander.
Yes, go watch.
It's a small town in Newfoundland. And it's time for you to take a gander.
Wait, how does that start?
Like, and where?
And welcome to the rock.
Welcome to the rock. That's Come From Away. And welcome to Gander.
Which is in it.
The oh, yeah.
Posters come of from it away in the show. In the New York subway, they have posters during this Couples Therapy show. Anyway, oh my God, something just fell off a table. There's a ghost. Oh my God.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So this Friday, I was on a hike in High Park in Toronto, and it was a gorgeous spring day. The sun was shining. The wind was lightly blowing. Actually, the cherry blossoms were out, but because of the pandemic, they were guarded by police and you weren't allowed to go
barriers.
Near them. It was actually insane just like seeing like these like barriers up for these beautiful trees. I was like, well, you know, we live in an apocalyptic time.
It's like you actually can't go look at nature.
Like
the most beautiful part of it.
Yeah, I'd never really gone before and I was like, okay, this is stunning. Like, I guess this could attract crowds of people. Yeah. But there were these flies there. This is what I learned about was mayflies. There were these swarms of flies everywhere. So, like, I swear to God, I saw about 10 different groups of people like scream and run, but they looked like they were losing their minds because you can't see them. They would just scream and start all running in like one direction. And I'd be like, wait, what happened? Like, it's someone. And it's these swarms of flies were chasing,
really know what a mayfly is now that you brought it up.
Okay, like,
I can picture a June bug, but not a mayfly.
Okay, that's so funny. You're like, the month of June you got unlocked, but this is the month of May.
So are mayflies big?
Or no, are they little? No.
Are they the swarms?
They're swarms, yeah.
Oh my God, those are so annoying. They just like go in your mouth and stuff.
Okay, I actually was in love with them because I was just like sitting there and being like, what are these? And they were landing on me and I wasn't getting scared. And I was like, this is such an interesting thing. And so they are mayflies because they're predominantly in May. But I do remember like playing soccer as a kid sometimes and just feeling like I was running with the ball and then like all of a sudden lost the ball because I'm like a swarm of things that like came in my face.
And I was like, and that happens. It's like you swallow 10 of them.
Okay, so they're called mayflies. And so this is just their life cycle because they're so interesting is what I learned. I was like, I need to go home and find out exactly like about what these things. And they're cool. So it's like, so nymphs are their aquatic form. So they are, after they hatch from an egg, we're going to get to how that egg gets there. But after they hatch from an egg, they are at like the bottom of streams and like sometimes big bodies of water. So High Park, for example, there's like streams and
just
like
full of nymphs.
And, yeah, tons of nymphs there. And even at the beach, like when we actually started to walk down to the waterfront, like there was like a green light and like someone was crossing the street and then just ran back to where they came from because like a swarm came to their face and like she screamed and started running. I was like, this actually feels like everyone's losing their minds. So they're usually like, it's a sign of clean streams and still water, which is nice because, you know. And so they filter feed, they stay in the water, and they're really great food sources for fish and birds and frogs. Okay. Then they molt at a certain point, their outer layer, and they float to the top of the water where they burst forth with these wings that have tiny hairs on them. But now those wings with tiny hairs, they're not fully mature and they're kind of hanging out on top of the water and like they're not what we are experiencing when we get hit by a swarm of them.
They're just like on the water?
Yeah, like they're like in grasses and they're, again, more food for birds and things like that.
Probably.
But you wouldn't like really interact with them. Then when they get enough energy, they reach their adult stage, and that's when they begin to fly. But they don't have any mouth. They don't have a mouth or gills. At this point, they only live for a few hours.
Once they fly?
when they're in those swarms, it's like they're either living for a few hours, and the longest they might live is like a couple days if they're like lucky. And the swarm, the whole point is just to mate. That's why they don't have any mouths or gills. Like, there's no, there's,
it's literally finding an orgy. A mate.
Okay, so it's the swarms are the males hoping that
a
female.
Oh, girl, that's an orgy for real. It's our kind of orgy.
Okay, it's a little bit of a little MMMM. It's going to be an MMMMMMMMMMMMMMMF orgy, because the swarm happens, and then the female one, they're hoping, will fly into it. Once they do, they reproduce, and then the male helps the female get to the water, where the water then dip, the female goes dip, 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 dips the eggs in, they die, the eggs are now in, and then they become the nymph again, and then that's like the life cycle.
So the females are not that, if you like run into a swarm, that's like mostly
that's a bunch of dicks. That's a freaking
talk about today's episode.
Yeah, penises. It's
a dick mayfly swamp.
I don't think they have dicks, but I'm kind of obsessed with them now, and like I kind of want to go back to Hyde Park because it's not quite May yet, so I think it will be happening throughout May. But it was just really funny to watch groups of people like eating an ice cream, being like, "Well, I guess I can enjoy them," just like screaming, and you can't see it. Then looks like they're honestly losing their mind.
They are
mayflies.
Kind of, and I don't want to call any insect annoying, but I just mean in the sense of when you're not prepared for it, and they sometimes kind of like move with you. I was also walking.
Me and my friend were like, "Did we bring them to these people?" Like, because we were sitting on this hill and there were so many around us while we ate, but we were kind of calm and just being like, "Oh, this is so cool," and like looking at them on our hands like mating. And then as we were walking, like we'd pass people and they'd scream, and we were like, "Are they like swarming us and staying with us?" And it felt like every time we got like in close quarters with someone, like they'd be like, "Oh," and we were like, "Are we bringing them? Like, are they with
maybe,
us?"
Maybe, maybe they're confident just and comfortable around your beautiful nature.
I always think that I'm communicating with the animals.
Not as scary, I think, as June bugs. Still, I think they're maybe more like in your annoying, but June bugs are so big. They're like giant,
but they don't bite, or like, because mayflies don't bite,
like,
right?
I don't know if mayflies bite, but
no, they don't.
Sorry. And I don't think June bugs bite, but they like fly into people. Like, yeah. I've seen them fly into a friend's hair, and it's like a giant, what would you, like a bumblebee size thing, if not bigger, and they're like flying into people. So I'm not ready for that. That's all I'm here to say. All right, shall I go into my what did you learn this week?
Yeah.
So I learned that, okay, you know how like in the 1950s and 60s they were doing all these like nuclear bomb tests?
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen those images where they're just like blowing things up and everyone's like trying
to get the base bomb. I was picturing like people in high school being like, "Go under your desk."
No, I mean
coming.
Literally they were testing bombs. Yes. Okay, so the radioactive like fallout from that can still be found in American Honey from the 50s. So because they blew up so many bombs all over the world, it's not just American Honey, and it's not just honey, we'll get to that, but there's like cesium-137 is what was like released in the atmosphere in such high concentrations that it then gets in the rainwater, gets into all of our plants, and then pollen, like the bees actually end up concentrating it so hard. So I will say it's still below like levels that should, it won't be harmful, but it's still detectable.
I would hope it's not like, "And sorry to all y'all who've been eating the honey."
Yeah, well, I think it was only recently discovered that honey weirdly has way higher levels than most vegetables, and they were like, "Why would that be?" And it has to do with something to do with like the bees collecting it and like concentrating it.
No.
But still at safe levels.
Yeah.
But it's just messed up to think. But actually I read that, and what I learned from that is this is also how, for some art, they detect if it's fraudulent. So they don't use cesium-137, but when those bombs went off, it unloaded so much carbon-14 into the atmosphere that anything that was made after that point has a certain amount of carbon-14.
So that's how they know something's older than that? Because it doesn't
have so it? There's been like art that claims to be from even the 1800s, and then they're like, "Well, this is from 1980 because it has so much carbon-14 in the frame or in the oils." And they just developed technique, like before they had to like really strip a lot of material, but now they've like been able to get it down to a pinpoint where they can just like take the smallest bit off and figure out if it's fraudulent.
Is that like, I always am like, how many people are making like fraudulent art?
Well, there was one famous guy, I didn't write it down here, but he had sold like he went to jail eventually when they realized he was just like faking
what,
all
like
these
printing it on
paintings.
His like computer printer, I mean, like, it's Leonardo da Vinci.
No, I think they paint them, they repaint them and then sell them saying they're authentic, like newfound pieces of art from this artist. And then these people go and test, like, there's always been different tactics to try and figure out if something's fraudulent, but this was just like one thing added to their arsenal. However, they say with carbon 14, it's starting to taper out to levels that would be natural for now. So that technique may not be useful forever.
It seems like so much work to make the fraudulent art. And if I was them,
because I think you could make like millions of dollars.
But if I was them, this, what I would do to not go to jail is I'd be like, mic drop, I'd be like, that's the performance piece of it. I'd be like,
that is
I'd be
the
like
art.
I'd be like, oh, that's the art. Like, I would just panic, like, that's the whole point. Like, I did it. It's a comment on the art market.
That's what, like, I'm sure freaking bankers say as well. They're like, it's actually art. We're scamming you, but it's just actually art.
You mean, like, about the stock market crashing? Yeah. Oh, that was our artistic thing about capitalism is art. Bad. It's actually a weird comment on capitalism that everyone's burning.
But I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that that was a way that they can detect fraudulent art.
Amazing. Okay, so we are about to get into a dirty, hilarious, but very educational, sex-positive, sexual education conversation. After the break, you're going to learn a lot about our bodies.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Now, you know I love a good website, and I'm sure you do too. I always wished I could, like, code my own, but I'm clearly not talented enough. But thank God for Squarespace, who empowers millions of dreamers, makers, and doers by providing them with the tools they need to bring their creative ideas to life. It's an all-in-one platform where you can build a website, claim a domain, market a brand, and even sell unlimited products online with no transaction fees. As you know, our website has been made with Squarespace for years. You can check it out. It's asapscience.com. It's beautiful. It's sleek. It works perfectly. And it was truly so easy to make. You can customize the look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. There also are these ready-made templates where you can just drag and drop stuff to make it look pretty. And you don't have to spend a ton of time understanding the back end of things. But it's also optimized to look good on any device, including mobile, which is so sweet. Nowadays, so many people are using mobile on our website, for example. And so it's nice to not have to overly freak out about how to make everything work on a desktop and an iPad and a mobile and all this sort of thing. When you create a website with Squarespace, you get free unlimited hosting, top-of-the-line security, and dependable resources to help you succeed. Not to mention their 24/7 award-winning customer support. Okay, I want to go to that award show. Is there one? I need to find out. Just head to squarespace.com/sidenote for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SIDENOTE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/sidenote.
Study time.
So we are here with Natalie Norman and the iconic topic of the cock, the member,
the peen,
the phallus, the weenie, the willy, the Peter, the Johnson.
My favorite toy. Sorry.
Yes, we need to know what inspired this idea.
I feel like it's the fastest text response I ever got. What do you want your penises?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I have such a cute little story. just first want to say shout out to the penis. Like, some are beautiful. And, like, some smell like clean laundry. Have you ever experienced that?
Wow. Like, naturally? Or is that someone using laundry detergent?
Yeah, I'm like, is that the laundry detergent seeping into the epidermis? Or are we talking pheromones, honey?
I honestly didn't know. And I was like, I had to stop and be like, okay, like your balls are great, but like, why do they smell so good?
Oh, wow. That is a beautiful thing to have said to you.
Yeah, no, that's really nice. Because yeah. Obviously, like, there can be insecurities around that. There can be fear around that.
No, I'm like really nice to the penis, but what if. If only men could be that nice to my pussy. Anyways. Sorry. So basically, this is what happened. 3-ish years ago, I was on a date with some guy and we were very, very drunk. And I think he was like hitting on me and still I'm like, not sure, but we were really drunk. And he started telling me like, oh, I've been thinking about one of your jokes before. Anyways. And then it turned out he was talking about one of my jokes about penises. And then he was like, yeah, condoms don't really fit well. And I was like, excuse me?
It's like, okay.
He was like, like when I put a regular condom on, it's like too tight. It feels like it's suffocating my dick.
Oh, and I was
like,
my God, brag.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, like me so out of it, like so like not into what's going on. I was like, you know, you can buy bigger condoms. But, and he was like, but if I buy a bigger condom, it's loose on the base.
Oh, okay.
And so we're getting an image.
Now
of
we're
what
getting
this...
a bit of like, I'm picturing like a hammerhead shark or something.
Right. And I was like, interesting. And then I was like, well, first of all, I'm pretty sure you could still find a condom. I was like, just offering solutions, like not picking up that this guy wanted to fuck me at all.
You're like, I think he was flirting with me. Or he was like, yeah, my cock is huge.
Yeah.
But not at the base.
Yeah, the base is weak. And I was like, what about a cock ring? What about this? Anyways, I went home. We didn't have sex.
See ya.
And my mind was like, I've never seen a dick like this before. So I started like Googling it. And then I found out it was an evolutionary trait. Because like, A, first of all, it is not super common, but it's like, apparently, I mean, you guys know this. Should I explain what I know?
Oh, yeah, I would love to know what you're Googling found.
She's like, apparently,
penises are an evolutionary trait.
Well, I was like, baseball dick.
Oh, baseball. That's it. A baseball. Okay.
Baseball bat dick.
Yeah, okay.
So cool. Like baseball bat dick, and I was like, and then it came up like hammer, and I was like, and I tried to find porn. I've never seen it. Anyways, what I came to reading about it was that I would say like years and years ago, you know, when we were hunters and gatherers.
Yeah, there you go. That's years. A science communicator right that there. We true. Love to go,
go
to the hunter gatherers.
Back to the hunter gatherer.
Yeah.
Hunters and gatherers, and you know, so, like, the women would be, like, gathering at home or, like, staying
home. There's no
home,
homes, but yeah.
Home base.
Sorry.
On.
I was picturing a structure with heating.
Wow. Do you not know your science?
All right. Well, we also have to say women were also hunters. They found that out this year. They hunted and they gathered way more than men. Men literally did nothing. Continue.
I mean, shocking. Yeah, I know. So, anyways... Apparently, the men would go gather and the women would be left to their own devices. And sometimes some men would stay behind and they would have some like intercourse. let's not pretend it was like, anyways.
Wait, are you talking about men on men right now?
No, I'm talking about the women.
Oh, yeah, my mind's in the gutter. Okay, continue.
No, the women would stay behind and have sex with whatever men were behind.
Okay, yeah, true.
And then they're like, partners would come back from gathering and be like, this woman is my woman, and would fuck her.
Natalie, what are you reading? Like, this is not Nature magazine.
Wait,
like,
I'm getting to it.
This Hunter is the porn you were trying to find.
Because wait, they come back and they have sex with their like primary partner.
Okay.
And when their dicks go in, the reason it was shaped like that was so it would disperse the sperm of the other person they might have fucked.
There we go.
So that their sperm becomes the predominant sperm and their lineage carries on.
Okay.
We have an evolutionary PhD student today.
Evolutionary biology of penises. It's like a legit field of study, and I just think you'd be really good at it.
I'm changing jobs.
Mitch,
it's so true. Like that, you explained it. Also, the whole time you were explaining this guy who was like, the condoms don't work, I was picturing him I thought the punchline was going to be like he was putting them on backwards. So it felt like so tight. You know, like if you ever try to put one on upside down,
you gotta
it
grab like, the doesn't go. And roll.
He's like pulling it and then it's so loosened at the bottom because he's just ripped it.
I mean, I'll be honest, that particular man would do that as a joke.
Okay.
But continue. But
yes, you're absolutely right. Like the penis evolution in humans specifically, like having large heads is to like help sperm competition to like pull the sperm out that maybe another male had already stuck in the woman and get it out to be able to put theirs. And they've like experimentally tested this. Like men with bigger heads have like a bigger chance of like pulling out the sperm.
So it's literally like because that head of it would like the like friction would be pulling like out literally sperm and like pushing their sperm. It kind of makes sense.
Okay. And I see. The way I saw it was like the sperm was like the dick was going in and like a hammer pushing everything out of the way.
But it's also like kind of pulling it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Think of how like the mushroom head aspect of it is to literally scoop it out.
Back.
Not fully out, but further away. Yeah. And part of the reason
is like, pss, pss,
pss, pss. Like humans have disproportionately long dicks compared to most other primates.
Okay. I'm horny.
Yeah. It's like this. I've also looked at so many dicks for this podcast, both human and animals.
Felt okay.
I had to. Okay.
We're learning a lot about you, man.
I mean, yeah. I'm very excited. But Beauty and the Beast was my sexual awakening, but it was Gaston's toe, not the Beast. yes. Anyway, long dicks are because it actually helped to place the sperm closer to the cervix, which is like one of the most like innered parts. And so that was the competition amongst males is to have long dicks with big heads so that it could pull the sperm out. And one final fact is the reason they believe that after ejaculation, males, like the refractory period comes and it gets soft so fast is because you don't want to pull your own semen out. So after you've ejaculated, you go soft so that you can't accidentally like pull your own sperm out.
I love that.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I have a lot more other facts that are just like really going to blow your mind, but we're
going to wait. That's so cool. Like, that is really interesting. Because, like, I'm just like, when I make men all over the place come and they add, I see their refractory periods all the time after me, they refract hard because I did them good. Okay, your turn.
I find it so, like, listen. Obviously, I'm not a science head or a science buff, but I think it's so, so interesting. And like, also as a feminist, I'm like so offended by their dicks.
I know. Okay. So like looking at all these flaccid, like scientific diagrams of dicks and like, you know, in like a science journal, how they'll like show an actual real, like fleshy dick. And it's like the most, I'm like, did you choose the most disgusting dick? Cause they can't have like a beautiful porn dick and then be like, this is the dick. Cause
everyone's insecure.
Gross dicks. And you're learning about like, you know, the seminal vessels and the vas deferens and all these things.
It's not very sexual.
I found it very unsexual to learn about dicks. But like, do you find the sexuality can pierce through the fact that we're like, the epididymis holds the sperm and it like
well, talking about it. Like, this is the thing is like, you're like really listening to those scientific words. And I'm just picturing the whole time being like, when's this it going in me? When is it going in me? When do I get to kiss the tip?
Okay. This is one way that it was described in a scientific article, which was disgusting. In its flaccid, unerect state, the shaft of the penis has the feel of a dense sponge encased in very smooth eyelid-type skin.
Okay, well, that's disgusting.
It's so gross.
But that is actually true.
It is eyelid-type skin.
Oh, my God.
You know when you masturbate too much and it starts to chafe? It's like rubbing your eyes too much.
Yes, I do.
Now I'm like, producer, which we don't have, edit that out. Edit that out.
I have, okay.
We're so excited.
We don't even know where to keep going. Okay, you have something to say. Go first.
You want me to go first? Because I got more information.
Okay, no, first. Okay, then I have a question that's not science-y. There's some, okay, do you like love dicks?
Natalie Norman, it's her brand.
It's literally my brand. It's like I love them. I welcome them. I do have like, my preference is only, I have one small little preference and that's honestly it.
And okay, what's the preference? Is it a baseball bat dick?
No, I haven't seen it. I never saw that guy's dick.
Oh, wow.
My preference is that it's not that, listen, I understand there's a purpose for hair down there.
Mm.
And it's not for it to be fully moved. It's for it to be like
well kept.
You can keep it. Oh, I just dated someone. Well, let's not say dated. I had I fooled around with someone and it was like the Wild West down there. I was like, and his dick was huge. And I still was like, where are you?
Okay.
Like the weeds.
I need to come out. I need to come out.
Greg has
I am full Bush McGee over here. Like
you don't trim at all?
No.
Like ever.
And like I will say.
It's just not happy.
I will say that, okay, like I like, okay, we can talk average size penis, 5 inches, 17, 5.17 inches is the average
erect,
size.
Yeah?
No, flaccid.
No.
No.
Oh, sorry. Erect.
I'm suddenly
imagine,
very
like, well, mine's a honking 17, so I thought I was last.
Both I don't, me and Mitch are like, no.
It's 13 centimeters erect. So anyways, okay. I like my dick. Okay, got a good dick. But I will say when I do a little bit of trim, I'm like, wow, it's looking better. Like, I'm like, why am I not doing this, putting in the effort? I don't know. Mitch, I love you. I've been with you for a long time. I just, and I like it. I love to be naked in the summer. Just like put me anywhere where I'm not going to illegally get, I'm naked. And like the bush just helps me feel like I'm, you know.
The way Natalie is looking at you right now, she's like, okay, good for you. Okay,
yeah, like, I mean.
I'm trying to defend it, but now I'm like, you just said your one caveat is what I have.
Your problem.
Oh, yeah, but like, you're not going to fuck me, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, true. Well, like, you never know. The world is a beautiful, fluid place. Okay.
I mean, okay, wow. He's hitting on me on the podcast.
Publicly.
But you're like, no. The full bush gotta go.
Yeah. No, it's not. I will still sleep with someone who has a bush. I'm just saying it's like a slight preference.
Yeah. No, I understand the preference.
I think Mitch might have it too. I think I'm in the wrong here.
Greg, it is so easy to trip.
I know. Like a specific look I want. I don't need you to like give it a moment.
I swear to God, every day I look down at my hairy bush and I think, oh my God, I'm definitely going to do that today. Oh, I'm going to trim today. And then the day starts to go by and I go, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. I said I'll do it tomorrow for probably like 2.5 years.
That's honestly, I literally like more than anything trim my bush.
Yeah, I know.
Like during quarantine, I'm not joking.
Yeah,
you know
it's, like, it's like a 2-hour process. You like put on Enya in Canada.
No, I literally do. Like, I have like a bay window, and like if my neighbor would come out on our shared mutual porch at night, it would be me on my couch trying to wax my ass.
Oh, the ass of it all. Oh, what? There's nothing more embarrassing than when you bend on over and start to shave or wax the ass.
I love it.
Okay, whoa. Wow, that felt forced a little bit, actually. I love that. Okay, we're one of the few mammals that don't have a bone in our penis.
I was going to say that as well. What's
it's called,
it called
a baculum.
Baculum.
So then what? Yeah.
So then I have a question.
Yeah.
What is it when a man's penis breaks that breaks?
It would be the blood vessels and the tissues. Like there's no bone. LOL at you even thinking there was a bone in there, Natalie. Like,
I didn't think there was a bone, okay. But I know someone whose penis broke.
Okay, yeah, it wouldn't have to do with the breaking of
I
a bone.
I have actually heard that too. You're right. It must just be.
There's lots of fascinating like blood vessels that can pop. Yeah, yeah. The blood vessels, like the main ones, are on the top. You know when you see like in porn and they got like a veiny dick. The biggest veins are at the top of the shaft.
In the dick or in the body?
In the dick. there's two big veins along the top of the shaft, and then they go down and like become disparate underneath the penis. Mm-hmm. And then the nerves are also mostly at the mushroom, which like also every science article is like the mushroom type, like an uncooked mushroom. I'm like, just stop. But the mushroom part is where the most of the nerves are. Like, I think we know that too.
I'll share one tip about blowjobs. It's like really lick along that vein.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, it's like if there wasn't an explicit like E on this podcast to begin with, it's now there. I can't. If there's one tip about blowjobs, it's really lick along that vein.
But with your tongue tight, anyways.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow.
I'm very good at blowjobs. Oh, it's a part of my culture.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
No, like, I'm like really, really good. But wait, do you guys know this? Maybe you can like explain it to me. I read recently that men with bigger balls tend to be more fertile.
Oh. That is, tends to be true.
That's
yes.
good for me. I have really big balls.
But do you know that? You have very like
droopy balls.
I'm just like picturing our parents listening to this episode.
I'm actually going to text my mom and be like, don't listen to the penis.
I'm about to say something. I'm like, do I want
your parents
say
don't listen. My mom, I know. Oh my God, I'm texting.
So like, it's interesting because, humans have small balls compared, they have long dicks compared to other primates, but small balls because there tend to be more monogamous. So they think that animals or primates, especially that have large balls, it's because they're competing more. So they have to have more fertile, like better sperm, more sperm. And so they have found that in humans too, like men with larger balls.
Okay. So it's the bigger the ball, not the droopy the sack.
True. Like, okay. I don't know. Have you ever like measured?
Now I'm like, how big are my actual balls?
Maybe. How do you not know?
No, I mean, like, I'm like, I have big balls. Like, when I look around, like, Hanlon's and everyone's naked, I'm like, my ball sack is, like, droopier. But then I don't actually, like, the touching of my balls, it's like, and the touching of other balls, I've never thought to, you know, kind of close my eyes and touch many balls and go, oh, how big is my ball? Right, like, but like, now I want to do that.
I measure everyone's balls with my mouth.
Oh, my God. You're like, well, this one's really filling it up like a big plump plum.
That's about two tablespoons.
Yeah. No, but like, listen.
Two tablespoons.
Well, I was just picturing really little.
Should. None of our parents should listen to
No.
I'm going to keep going, but like, like, I'm really, I think the balls are very missed in the experience for men.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I think why are we avoiding this? This if we're here for pleasure, like if that's the purpose, like let's take it all in, let's do
that's
this.
That's true.
So I do have some specialty tricks with balls. So so after having so many balls in your mouth, you kind of get the sizing of like some fit really easily into your mouth and some don't.
Oh my God, I love that. When they fit really easily, you can be like, well, bud, you gotta get that checked out. The fertility's low, hun. But I'm gonna keep going. But you should probably worry about your fertility.
Yeah, like.
Well, maybe they're just more like a better suit for a monogamous partner. You never know.
Yeah, true. That's
right,
nice, Mitch.
Right.
Mitch. You know, there could be a benefit on both sides.
Am I so gross about blowjobs? I like take them so seriously.
No, well, no, good. It's a sport.
I'm sure everyone
go
appreciates
it.
Who you
yeah,
encounter.
It's an art.
It isn't, that's like, listen, I know this is related, but not really related. I'm like really into sexual health, science, and like sexuality. And like, there's a lot of books out there about vulvas and like how to turn them on. And like, they're like increased desire. It's like SES and SAIS. I don't know if you've ever read like about sex drives. And anyways, I'm not explaining it well because I'm not a scientist. But I think there's also, we talk about blowjobs as if they're like really easy
like
and like really cat.
Just like whatever.
Yeah, you just do that. And I think like all sexual experience, just like vulvas with dicks, we should really make the experience as best as we can. Because otherwise, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh my God. Okay, I'm crying. Beautiful.
That's nice.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt. You're doing God's work.
Yeah.
Oh, I am.
I think that's really true. I think a lot of men, like, this is also just, like, the problem with toxic masculinity is that it affects men as well. Like, people don't want to talk and be vulnerable and be like, what actually is more pleasurable to me?
Yeah.
And maybe maybe there is the taboo of just, like, it's easier for a man to get off. And so, like, guys don't have to think about, well, what's, like, the most desirable way to do that?
That's amazing. Because the flesh of the penis is connected to the anus hole. So you know what I mean? The toxic mask is stay away. But it's you got to put a finger in there. You got to put a finger in there.
Something I read recently also about the whole apparatus is that you can actually massage the prostate from outside. Did you know that?
The prostate from outside of the anus hole.
Like, where do you wear?
As a gay man, I'm like, yeah, right. I'm kidding. Like, you got to get in there.
Have you seen instructionals?
Of course I have.
Okay, show us.
She's literally standing up and has one hand to the left. And she, wait, there's a whiteboard appearing behind her. Oh my God, she has whiteboard markers. Wait, she's like, drawing diagrams.
Well, this is like, it's very hard to find out about this. I read about it and I was like, once again, like my brain is like, what is this?
She's so on the dark web coding. Like, okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
So basically, it's like when the shaft is up and the balls are here, there's a certain area where you can massage the prostate from outside. Wow. It obviously has to be a very deep massage.
Oh, right.
But
sure.
It's recommended if you're with a partner who's like fearful of anal play to try doing it that way.
From the outside first.
From the outside to get into it because it also feels really good. And like, why are we ignoring the prostate? Yeah.
That is true. Wow. It's like, I'm going to look that diagram up.
Yes, yeah, so you got it. I'm really into like all of it. That's also the thing. It's like the penis is so interesting, just like the vulva. There's so many parts. And like, listen, I read this book on blowjobs recently.
Okay. You gotta lick the vein at the top of the hard tongue.
Listen, when I say it's a part of my culture, Jewish girls are like really focused on blowjobs. Like, I can't explain it.
You were not being hyperbolic.
No, not for a second. But I read this like blowjob book and it talked about like the motions around men and their cocks, but it also talked about the different ways we can touch them that are new and exciting because I like once again I think it's like very much like up and down and I know it whatever. Anyways, I just find it all interesting. Now tell me about I like feel like I could talk about this forever, but I
me
also
too.
Know that we also have to talk about the environmental factors affecting dicks.
Yeah, them shrinking. True. Them shrinking.
Do you want to go through that first, or should I talk a little more about like the evolution of dicks?
Yeah, keep doing the evolution. Like,
oh, we'll, okay.
We'll end with like the desperate,
also,
sad aspect of all of this.
Having done research on this, I feel so overwhelmed because you're so right. There's so much like from every perspective that I was like, I don't even know what to cover.
And every animal's dick.
Yeah, and just like how they evolved, how humans' dicks evolved. And I'm just like, I have a bunch of random kind of facts because I was just like finding all these different things.
Okay, I'm so excited.
I'm just gonna like be staring over here while I look at them. So obviously humans, penises are like so diverse between all other animals. It's like a big mystery why, but they think most of it's sexual. What do you call it? Like
selection.
Not evolution, but sexual selection. Yeah. So for the most part, like females choose dicks based on what is probably a sign of like high fertility and good genes.
And I love how those females are always choosing like the faggiest animal. It's like every animal has to be like fucking pink purple and be like, hey batch, hey batch, I'm a peacock batch. And it's like, we're the only species that's like, hey, I'll give a fuck.
I didn't realize that like, so dicks can be so different. Like some animals have dicks bigger than their bodies. So like,
what?
Barnacles have dicks that are 8 times bigger than their bodies. Earwigs have 2
dicks.
Give me
a barnacle.
Wait, earwigs?
Earwigs have 2 dicks. Snakes have like, they have 2 dicks, but it's like they've been split in half and they only use one of them. So there's all these different variations of dicks in all these different places.
Great white sharks, 2 dicks the size of baseball bats.
Where did they come from? Obviously, it's like a sexual, like it's like once animals came out of the oceans, I think, like when dicks evolved.
Really? So when we were like water dwelling, like cephalopods, there were not penises.
Yeah,
we become land dwelling.
So shortly after our sea dwelling ancestors migrated on land, creatures were pressured to quickly evolve genitalia.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Me either.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it makes sense that why some mammals that are now in the water, which have like come from land back into
like
water, have penises.
Yeah, but a fish would just like squirt onto eggs and stuff.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like they would put eggs down and then they would just like spurt their squirt.
And even lungs were used when we were fish to like as flotation devices.
Yes.
But as like breathing, like I just feel like a lot of things with cocks have lungs.
Mm. Okay. They used like the comparison for people who like don't totally understand sexual selection is even like deer antlers. So if there's like so much variation between species. So like moose antlers are like completely different in shape and size, but they're like all really similarly related. So that's because of the pressure of the female. The antlers represent something, and this is why every species has like, even when they're closely related, can have like completely different penises.
Like a chimpanzee's penis versus ours.
Yes. So
Their penises are tiny.
They're tiny.
Very small, but large balls.
Big balls though.
But no, I think chimps aren't tiny, but gorillas have tiny dicks, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of animals have dicks that actually go inside them when they're not hard.
Yes. So that is another thing
Whoa.
That is like, there's been a lot of debate of like, why did
Why is it
humans
still hanging
or
out there?
Other animals? Some animals evolve like dicks that got outside.
And
them.
A lot of animals have testicles that are on the inside too. And it's like, why is our junk hanging out? Like, because it's like it's not healthy. It hurts.
There's a lot of theories about why.
Okay, wait, stop, pause, side note. So once again, back to this book I was reading about basically about vulvas and penises and sexual blah, 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 blah. It's called Come As You Are. Great book, highly recommended by Emily Nagoski. But basically she goes over the way the vulva is and how everything, like our balls, our version of the balls, and we have the same parts, but they're just inwards.
Yes, yeah, for sure. It's the clitoris and the penis are made of like the same tissue, and it's just like a change.
Exactly.
And actually, go ahead.
Well, she has this ongoing sentence throughout the book where it's like, we're all the same, just positioned differently.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally. No, that's true.
And even in utero, like we all kind of start neutral or like more similar to the female. And then after certain hormones hit in the mother's stomach, like the ovaries or it become testes and drop down.
And the vulvas fuse. And when you look at ball sacks, you know, there's like that line on the ball sack.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, also there.
Yeah. It's the
But fusion. You know, it's also in the vulva. There's like a line inwards that's like a small like seam almost.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it.
I've certainly never seen that. Truly, like, I don't know anything about
it. Greg's
vaginas.
So
really
quiet
sad.
Right
oh,
now.
I've seen it.
I know he's seen it.
I've had many an experience. I mean, my parents are not listening to this. This is explicit. I once ate out a girl with a tampon in.
I love you. Mazel tov. You did it. That's
exactly.
God's work.
So I just have to say.
Did you know?
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it.
I did know, and I liked it.
I was going to say, one of the reasons, and this is like a personal, I'm like, I guess I'm just saying this on the internet and to people, but I like when you have an inguinal hernia, I had that when I was younger, it's because in men, it's like, like your intestines go into like your ball sack, and that's a hernia when the intestines like push through. So it can be in your stomach, but this kind is because when ovaries drop and become testicles, there's like a hole there that has to make room for that. And so it's an easy place for something to push through. And so I had that problem.
Is that the same kind of hole where drag queens tuck up their balls into them?
I don't really know, but I guess
this is not accurate. This is not accurate.
Like, I think some drag queens literally can push
they put their balls in
balls
them
upwards.
Yeah.
And then,
really?
Yes.
So that
and then
it looks
they
like they don't have
they
a penis.
Wrap it the dick and scrotum, which is just the sack. The scrotum's just the sack back. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how far up it actually goes, or if it's just
is that
like,
painful?
I think it think is. So? Like I've tried, and it actually is not very comfortable. But I think if
yeah,
you just
can't
get
imagine.
Used to it, yeah,
the things people do for fame.
It's like binding, I guess.
It's like
yeah, that's true. It's kind of like binding.
Like what?
Binding, like when binding. You bind your tits.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know what that was.
Oh, Mitch, read a book.
I'm like, is that specifically for, like, drag kings or just in general?
In general.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Like, to just, like, flatten.
So, it's a piece of fabric that, like, just holds everything down. It's incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it's just, like, pressure.
But, like, yeah.
Okay. Learn something new every day. I'm trying to think of what else I can tell you. Oh, yeah, like chimpanzees, most other primates have spiked penises. And so they've always wondered, like, why don't humans have spiked penises? We believe that ours evolved to be smooth because of monogamy. Yeah. It's that same thing
of
like
of
having small monogamy. Okay. Like the competition to fight and spend resources on having all these extra features to compete with sperm is not as high in Homo sapiens.
Unlike ducks who have a corkscrew penis.
Oh, I know about that corkscrew dick.
Hate that. Oh my God. I love ducks so much. But then whenever I look at them, I'm just like, oh, good Lord. You got a
They're
corkscrew
perverts.
Down there.
And not just ducks. There's like lots of animals that have, even I think types of swine have corkscrew dicks as well.
Okay, but why do dogs have similar dicks to us?
Because they're our man's best friend.
Man's best.
I mean, it's really not that similar, Natalie. It's like this. It's like inside them, and then it comes out this nasty ass lipstick.
Right, it's a lipstick.
And then I'm just like, is it that similar? Like, I don't know what kind of dicks you're blowing, but it's not that similar.
I'm going to be honest. Every time I see a dog dick, I'm like, I can't.
It's bloody. It's like, okay, where's the...
Yeah, why is it bloody?
Where's your epidermis? Where's the skin, hun? Don't let that out. Oh, I used to love my... our dog doesn't have boners anymore.
Oh yeah, before he was neutered, like he used to get them all.
He doesn't get them now?
No. Yeah, sure. Oh, and I used to do this thing.
When he's overexcited, it might happen, but it used to be like every day.
Okay, this is psycho. And like at this point, it's like this isn't that bad. It's like if we're gonna get cancelled, we've already been cancelled on this episode. But it's like I used to do this. I love Just Dance and dancing, and I would dance in my basement. There's this one move where I would go down on the ground, kind of grind to the ground, and then I go boom, 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 and I like lift my ass up and hit my crotch down and bang with my fist. And yeah, it would make enough of a loud noise that Ernie would always run down, and I'd be on the ground, and he'd just start humping me, just like humping me like right
every
in my
time
ass.
To that
and so then I was just like, I fucking love this, so funny. So like Mitch would be watching TV, I'd just get on the ground, go boom, 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 and then Ernie would come in and start humping my butt. I'd be like, hey Mitch, hey man. So I think it's like fully like routine with my dog where he would hump me. And then also I used to like pick him up a certain way, like at parties and stuff, and like just hold him and like kind of bump up and down, and then he'd get a boner, and then he just always have this discharge on my shirt, and it was like, guys, look, yeah, guys, look. Disgusting. When I held her,
that's
looking
too much for me.
Yeah, not funny, disgusting.
Anyway. It's like, and I'm like the queen of swallowing, like that.
I'm sad too though. Much. I miss those days. I remember the first time I went down, I banged my ass in crotch and fist, and I looked at Ernie, and he was like, what? And I was like, it's over between us.
Once you got neutered.
You moved on. Oh my God, you neutered years off.
I love Mitch's face throughout this.
I'm just like.
It's like, Mitch, you're a scientist. This is science.
I know it's science, but like having your dog hump you is not science.
It so is. It's like, you dumb little thing.
True. No, I understand.
Your hormones are wrong.
I grew up in a Catholic family, okay? I'm repressed.
Okay, this is funny. I was looking up different names for dicks. One of them's pigskin bus.
Nope. Nope. Absolutely not.
I think we should bring back one-eyed trouser snake, though. I love that.
No. One-eyed okay. trouser snake is too
that
long.
That one feels religious to me.
What about leaky hose?
Leaky hose, I can't be
tool. I like
no,
tool.
That's wait. Leaky hose is like you got like your cum just can't stop.
Yeah, I know. True. It actually seems like you're sick.
Oh, I think I thought I said you said linking hose.
Oh, because it links into the other person.
Yeah, and
that's
I was
poetic.
Like a hoe for some reason.
Oh,
well,
linking
like,
hoe.
That's like the thing that pulls. Sometimes they call this mushroom a hoe, like how it pulls.
Okay, a linking hoe. Now that
not
is
a leaky
good one.
Hose.
Okay, wait, sorry. I know we're talking about, like, names. What was I? I forgot my thought. It was, like, good, and I'm so sorry.
Just, like,
it was definitely.
Screams, like, schlong!
It was about, like, pre-cum.
Oh, what
okay.
about it?
Can you say that again in that beautiful pre-cum?
Pre-cum.
Oh, it was about pre-cum.
Where's the pre-cum?
So that's yeah, just listen. Like the fluids, like getting excited, getting ready to ejaculate.
Yeah, but you're right. It's interesting because there can be such a difference between men of yeah. if at all or how much or how
it's similar
little.
To women getting wet.
Yeah.
It's like helping.
Is it?
I
think so. It's helping to lubricate.
It's like lubrication, I assume.
But the, see, I'm curious. We're going to have to do the science behind this because.
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, second. They're coming back on for our episode on pre-cum.
Yeah, because, which is my dream. Because pre-cum, from what I know about it, it's a way to expel the old sperm that's left inside the cock and make room for the new
like
sperm.
To kind of
well,
cycle
it says
up.
That it's
clean
a,
it
it's,
out.
It's a loop. It's clearly a lubricant that prepares the urethra for the climax.
Wow.
And looks similar to semen.
Just so shut her down like that.
Well, okay, but it's not necessarily it a lubricant. It's not necessarily a lubricant of the sex. It's a lubricant of the actual like urethra.
Urethra.
Getting
okay,
ready
okay.
to
which
ejaculate.
Actually sounds almost more
yeah.
similar to like.
It is.
Yeah, like it's
yeah.
a cleaning. It's a cleaning process.
Yeah, yeah
like
you're right.
Anything that's in the way yeah. gets.
Because
so that when
wetness
you ejaculate.
In. Because wetness in women from the, I think it comes from the Bartholomew glands. I can't
ooh,
remember.
Yes,
Bart
yes,
glands.
Yes.
But it's basically, so like another, I'm so obsessed with this book, by the way. You have to read it.
Yeah,
once
I'm
again.
Excited to read
come
it.
As you are. Basically, it says there's a little thing that happens with women. It's called, and it happens with men sometimes. Sorry, with penis or vaginas, right, sure. vulvas. Let's get back. That's genitalia. But basically, when anything that seems arousing comes towards a vulva, it immediately starts getting wet. So it's not actually a sign of being turned on. It's actually a sign of you preparing to allow something in.
That's so
and it's a very important thing that we should all be learning in health sciences.
That's so true.
Because, you know, so many times, like, especially if you consume porn like me, you're watching it and the woman's like, the man will be like, you're so wet. That means you're turned on. And her face is like completely like stone cold.
That's so interesting, Natalie.
And it's like so stone cold. And you're like, no, she's not.
Yeah. And it's so like unfair for men to think that. It, like, it's such an important thing to understand just for like how you all, everyone gets on the.
It's just a right physio. Like yeah, a, it's yeah, just
a body response. Totally.
And then, so like in this book, it says you should always be communicating with the person you're having sex with. And even men sometimes, like they can get hard sometimes without actually being turned on. Totally. It's your body getting ready to create life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says, another thing that it says pre-cum does is it neutralizes any acidity of urine left within the urethra. It's kind of interesting and smart. It's literally being like, so that to protect the sperm, we're going to like neutralize the acid of urine. So it's like, it's just kind of what you're saying. It's like all of these things that we've like created these like colloquial, like, oh, I'm hard. Like, oh, I'm wet. It's like, this is all just physiology and science that we've like, you know, created this like aura around, but it's actually quite simple and functional. And cool.
Me being like, I'm wet literally could be being like, oh, a tampon is coming into me. Do you know what I mean? Like your body
so
is prepared. Preparing and like also the so penis with the cleaning and everything. Do you think someone with more? This is just like a thought in my head.
Yeah.
Someone with more pre-cum is like someone who's like really got fertile because they really need know how to protect everything.
Oh, okay, well, God, here I can talk about my thing right now because this is about male fertility.
Okay,
and
you go.
It's ooh, it's bleak. So it's like really intense. It's really really intense. So it's like. Male fertility, like definitely that concept of being like, oh, like, do they have more pre-cum? Are they more fertile? It's like, we're at this like crazy point where male fertility is decreasing so much. And the reason why I think this is so important, and we just made this video about this and it's gone pretty viral. It's like this in the sciences, it's a very new topic of discussion. But the reason it's so important is that when people have fertility issues, so often it's put on women. It's like, you know, I don't, whatever the story
that
is.
That something is wrong with the woman when someone can't have it.
You're telling me.
Yeah. No, and it's just like, so 1/3 to 1/4 of all fertility issues have to do with the sperm. Whereas 1/3 to 1/4 of all fertility issues have to do with the egg. And then the rest have to do with a mix between the two. But the concept of infertility issues right now are so bleak because of sperm and sperm production. It's such a fragile process. And really what it is that we are consuming since like essentially the 1950s when we really started to use, and if you look around, you see it, all these plastics. They're called phthalates. There's BPA, which we've heard a lot about, like BPA-free water bottles, like that. Those specific, they're called endocrine disrupting chemicals. So they actually mess with the hormones in men, and they disrupt testosterone and the ability for penises to grow when you're young. And the main issue is taint size. So the thing you're rubbing near the prostate, that thing. And also just literally the ability for these sperm, because obviously they're not intelligent, they're not smart, but sperm are like, it takes a lot for them to get to the egg. And there's so many specific biological functional things that we've just talked about that are really getting like are under attack from things in plastics, pesticides, and a lot of the products that we use. So it's like pretty scary because it's like we have to figure out how we regulate those products out of our bodies. And a lot of men don't realize this impact that they have on fertility. And another thing is like if you go to a sperm bank and you're over 40, they're like, leave, because your sperm at that point, the DNA is more damaged. Like men have a biological clock when it comes to fertility and they don't realize this. And it's like, so older men will have like a kid with a younger woman. They'll probably have a lot of fertility issues. It'll 100% likely be the man. Then there could be really big issues with the actual birth and the ownership being put on the woman. And people don't talk about this. And it's like, yeah, you have a biological clock and it is your sperm. And in fact, eggs don't have the same biological clock in that sense as the other aspects of pregnancy that are harder.
What?
But yeah, it's like, and penises just in general are shrinking because of these endocrine disrupting chemicals that we are now like obsessed with. It's just everywhere. We all use them.
So, I have so many questions. Okay, first of all, are they figuring out, and I'm sure they are, I imagine so, a way to increase sperm quality?
Like, oh my God.
Just in terms of what, like, lifestyle, so basically, meds, or is that what you mean? Like, is there a meds, way to, like, meds, give meds.
So not really through meds, but if you do things like IUI
or
IVF.
I'm sure there's research into it. I'm sure there are, like, people testing, like, different substances.
But it's really, okay, the reason it's so scary is that, okay, smoking cigarettes. If a man smokes cigarettes, he has decreased his fertility immensely just by smoking cigarettes. So he can stop smoking cigarettes and then try and get pregnant, and that will really help. If a man is inactive or, you know, spends, like, the studies are a lot on people who self-proclaim that they, like, spend more than 5 hours a day watching TV, they're extremely infertile. Their sperm are not healthy. So it's like, there's that. But then there's also these chemicals. So phthalates, BPAs, DHPAs, these things that are in, like, fast food packaging or soaps or all these different things that we use. The issue is that there's so many of them and they come together, and it's really hard to study in isolation what they would do. So when you think about medicine, it's like you really need to understand biological pathways to have very specific ways to combat things. But this is such an influx of, like, a vast array of chemicals doing different things. Like, some decrease taint size. Some are only causing effects when the mother is exposed to phthalates, when the embryo of a boy is between the weeks of 8 and 12. Whereas other cases, it's like when your kid is born and between the ages of 0 to 1 only, he's exposed to BPA in a certain way, whether it's topically or ingests. Then it's like he's likely to have a less developed ball sack and decreased sperm count. So there's just so many issues that medicine, I think, is, like
hard
not
to
going to be the easiest thing to do.
Kind of thing.
And what they do is they now will take, like, IVF, for example. There are ways that we can take men's sperm, literally, like, spin it around, get the best sperm, and then maybe inseminate a woman that way would be, like, a smarter thing to do. But that sounds very dystopian.
Okay, I have so much to add to this because of personal life experience that I'm currently going through.
Okay.
So that sounds so vague, but let me explain this. First of all, I'm curious to know if you stop smoking and you get more active, the quality does increase?
Yes, for men. For men, yes.
For
because,
men.
Because men have such a high turnover of sperm, that's also why, like, wet dreams occur. Like, it's pushing out old sperm.
Go
ahead.
Because with women, from what I've researched and know, is that you only are born with a certain amount of eggs. Mm-hmm. And once the quality is diminished, there is literally nothing you can do to create better quality. I have, by the way, terrible quality.
Really? So you figured, like, what? You got tests? How did
you guys are, like, all of a sudden, you guys have so many
questions. No, but I'm like, how do you, like, can you just self-identify as terrible quality? Or, like, what did you?
No, I'm like, well, listen, I like to tell people I'm 29. I'm not.
I love it. I'm going to take that. Yeah, 29. Don't ask.
I've been telling people for, like, 5 years, and I'm 29. But basically, through a process where I ended up, like, to be honest, this past summer, me and a bunch of my lady friends decided that we were, like, talking about, should we get our AMH levels checked? Which, if you don't know what your AMH levels are, they are the quality of your eggs.
Interesting.
So it's not about the quantity, it's the quality, because there's a bunch of things, obviously, that play into fertility, like the quality and how many eggs you're actually producing and follicles and all this stuff. Anyways, I have done the AMH test. Found out, like, it was very heartbreaking. I'm dealing with it. Mm-hmm. But basically, my quality is, I have the quality of a 41-year-old woman.
Okay.
Mm.
So that is very, very low for my age. I am 34. So basically,
I hate that they do that. Like, it's so intense to give, like, an age on it. Like, I know,
and
I get that
it is such it's useful, but it goes back to that thing where men never have to be like, what's the quality of my sperm?
Yeah. I'm 34 and I'm sitting here dealing with my quality. And then I, like, did all this research and I called so many doctors. I was like, I don't understand why we haven't figured out a solution to increase the quality. So, like, there is, like, some vitamins I can take that will help increase it, but there's no, like, scientific studies. Now, with follicles, sorry, this, like, really got into a different
thing. No, this is so what we wanted to talk about because it's really interesting.
So follicles is a different thing. There is now some, like, they're thinking that there is some ways to increase the amount of follicles a woman has or able to produce. So, for instance, like, testosterone androgel is said to believe to increase the amount of follicles, because you need good quality of eggs, and you also need a lot of follicles if you're doing egg retrieval or IVF. Mm-hmm. So, but here's another catch that I find so interesting. Because like I'm 34, I'm thinking like, do I do egg retrieval? You know, especially if my quality is low, it's not going to get better. If anything, it's going to decrease. But basically, when I spoke to so many doctors, they're like, when you're doing IVF, egg fertilization, embryos, whatever, it doesn't mean you cannot get pregnant naturally. It means that IVF isn't easy. And they're two separate things. This is my understanding. Obviously, you could check this out. But that's what I was told. It's like, you can still theoretically get pregnant and have a very healthy baby. But for egg retrieval, you need a quality.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Right? And because there's no natural selection when you're removing the eggs, that's what I imagine what's happening. They're taking everything. So they don't know which eggs are good or bad. And then also what's crazier about this whole thing is they take all the eggs out, right? For like, say you're just doing egg retrieval. They take out like how many eggs they get. They freeze them. You're not guaranteed anything. You just have a pile there, but you actually don't know the quality.
Right, like it may already be, if it's low quality and then frozen.
And there's no way of them testing it. That's so intense.
There's no way testing, but with sperm, like from what I read, is like they can like spin it. It takes about 3 months to clean it out and figure it out. And I think that also plays into like the misogyny in the medical world.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. It's so sad, like when you realize the misogyny of all of science. Like, for example, like one anecdote is just migraines. Like they're so behind on migraine research because it's like 70% of people who get migraines are women. And so doctors have just ignored this, like, you know, really intense thing that's been happening for so long. And only now they're like panicking. They're like, we give them Botox. I don't know. And now they're like, we give them a bunch of weed. Like, it's like, they're all just like, cause all these people are like, now we know these migraines are real. And the research is getting pretty quick and fascinating right now. But back in the day, like, men weren't experiencing it. And doctors were like, literally like, it's hysteria. Like, this woman's lying. Like, they, I mean, like, they're blind in left eye. And now they have a headache. Like, no, you don't. And it's just like so sad because you're right. Like, although the complexity of like fertility is different for people, I still really think you're right. Like, there's definitely going to be a lot more robust research into sperm just based on even when you go back to the late 1800s of how they were studying things.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it is always placed, like, it is placed on women because it's considered like a woman's like job and a woman's issue. It's all, like, when I was speaking to like fertility doctors, the science is still so new. And I like said to my friend, I called her and I was like, I can't understand. We've been doing IVF and egg fertilization for like what, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
Why are we only doing studies now? And what, like, he told me the study, which was really interesting, which relates to sperm. You said around 40, it's super damaged. For women, the actual cutoff of like from this particular study that he felt was a good study was that at the age of 37 is when the drop-off of amount of eggs happen. So up until we're 37, women, people with eggs are 37, you have a good chance of getting pregnant. The quality is technically good. Like, you should have an easy time getting pregnant. Once you turn 37, it diminishes half every year that goes by. So, but also, that the thing is, that's not, that's just like an average.
Right.
Like, yeah, some people none of this is finite.
Like, have kids well later.
And it's a mix. Like that's like also when it's looking at fertility issues. It's the sperm, it's the man and the woman, it's the eggs, it's the follicle stimulating hormone of the woman, it's like the testosterone of the men. They're so it's so complicated that, like, yeah, it's not just like it, you can think of it in like these finite terms, although sometimes it's used to explain to help people grasp things.
Right. I mean, for me, I think the most predominant way this is explained in the media, like fertility issues, is if you've watched The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, oh my God.
Handmaid's Tale is about fertility. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yep.
I mean, also control and manipulation. But a big thing is that the environment has caused infertility problems, and they put it only on the woman. And if you watch the show or read the books, eventually you're like, maybe it is the men. It's like, and you're like, right, it's,
why,
like, this woman's proven to
talked about.
It's actually so, like, Margaret Atwood is a genius, and it's so sad that, like, these studies are always,
well, even
like,
thinking about the study about, like, dicks shrinking, it's like that, it's so sad, but it's so true that that may actually propel, like, politicians and legislation to change faster than anything.
Yeah, they're like, oh, now we think there's a plastic problem.
Politicians to be like, oh my God, yeah. It shrinks dicks. A thing that, like, obviously the sperm count matters to fertility, but dick size doesn't. But it's like, that's the thing that will probably peek out, even in our comments.
They'll be like,
on that
my
video.
Little boy, my little baseball playing
like,
boys have a small dick.
Men, just as soon as they realize it's affecting men and have to face that, it is like.
Well, men should be scared because I'm here to tell you. I'm out here replacing men very easily. Yeah. And I'll tell, it's when I was like sleeping with someone, fooling around with someone, and he was like, you don't have a vibrator. And I was like, no, they're very loud. And it's like very hard for me. And then he was like, you should get one. And I was like, A, your job? like it's your job to please me. I don't know why you're here otherwise. And then he left, and then I saw a discount. Sorry, this relates, I swear. I saw a discount on this, like, on this particular vibrator that's like quiet but also like supposed to be really good. It was originally $100 and I got it for $20. German engineered. Anyways,
you're like, there's no regulation on the plastic on it. It's fine, you know, it's got
no,
time.
It's BPA
I'm kidding.
Free.
I'm kidding.
It's like insane. It's like got a 15-year warranty, which is longer warranty than any man has ever given me.
15 years, wow.
But I got it and I said to myself, I was like, men are so crazy. Like, we have sperm banks, okay? We're out here, we don't need your pleasure anymore because this thing made me come in 5 minutes and it didn't have to talk to it afterwards, okay? And when I ordered it, it arrived in 24 hours, okay?
Oh my God, you get a new one every day.
That's so true. And a sperm bank is where they actually go through the semen and they go, this sperm's good. You don't have to deal with any custy 40 plus semen.
Exactly. So I'm just like, men, you better be careful. Yeah. We also... Listen, we can get a dick in any shape we size we want.
That's true.
Whether it's a baseball bat or a micro penis that goes inside like a chimpanzee.
One last random fact I had come across, not random, obviously, but related to male sperm, is they find that when, if looking at pictures in studies, a man looks at an image of a woman with two men, he'll produce more sperm. Because
okay.
It's competitive. Whereas if he looks at images of just three women, he will not. And they think it's because when it's like kind of how like gorillas have small dicks and small like balls because they're like it's like one man is with a lot of women, because he doesn't have to compete. So I just thought that was interesting that there's
so
these,
the competition of seeing more men
like having
this is heterosexual men. Seeing more men around a woman makes them produce more sperm because they're like, I gotta get mad.
Yeah, like obviously not conscious, but it's just like their body starts.
No, that's hot. Like, that's hot.
This is hot, and this is my favorite base of information to use and be like, listen.
Yeah, I think we need more boys in this equation.
True.
We're inviting someone else in because you gotta work harder. Yes. Mama needs that sperm.
It's actually for you.
Oh my God. MMF. MMMF. Normalize MMMMF.
I'm out here normalizing it, okay?
Oh my God, Natalie. Okay, that was amazing. We love you.
I feel like, do you have any more amazing facts to share with us? Like, no pressure. I just feel like you've brought so much. Yeah. I don't want you to feel like there's anything we can, left unsaid.
She's changed her position. Yeah, her legs are up. Her tee's out. She's like, well, I mean... We could go for hours.
Now that we got the MMMF.
I mean, like, listen, I know a lot about women's fertility right now, but, like, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah,
we can
honor
we'll do a separate. That we're talking about the cock and its evolutionary history. And, I mean, I hope they evolve to be happy.
Okay, so where can people find you and reach out, maybe slide into the DMs for some MMF?
Okay, slide into my DMs for MMF at Stalking Natalie on Instagram and Twitter. I'm illiterate on Twitter, so get ready.
Oh, but me too. I always think about that. I'm like, my degree's in science and visual art. I can't write. Every time
There's
I post
no
a tweet, I'm stoned, and then I read it the next day, and I'm like, oh, I left out a the and a like period and an at symbol.
Sometimes I read my tweets back to me and I'm like, I'm so embarrassed that 17 people like this.
Who were they?
What's wrong with them?
Well, we love you so much.
Would love to have you back to talk about female anatomy and fertility. Yeah. And I feel like I have so much to learn. Like, as a gay man especially, I sometimes like, I want to support all that education, but feel so detached because obviously I do not engage with like female genitalia.
So we're going to have you back for that and also for our episode on pre-cum.
I can't wait for the pre-cum.
Yes, we should have a sex ed series where you come and help teach us about all these things.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you so much for being on the pod, for coming
and visiting
us. Thank
you for having me.
And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Peace.
Bye. Okay, before you leave me.
Yeah, we're not actually leaving. We're just going to turn all the recordings off now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.